Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. With me, as they tend to be, we have Maxwell and Terrence. Max and Terry, guys, it's really good to see you. It's good to see that we're all surviving, and that's all I'm going to say. Max, how are things going for you over there this summer?
Very well, very well. I've teed myself up with a few roles within the industry of football, so I'm pretty excited and looking forward to things.
Can you tell us about that one, the one gig that everybody on Twitter was like, oh my god, congrats, and I didn't get to tell you with my voice, so congrats, because I told you with a little reply, but I should say it,
It's an academy analyst at Accrington Stanley. Funnily enough, I didn't go through my cousin or my family for this one. Like, my uni have ended up getting connections with the club, which is, fantastic. And I'm just chomping at the bit to get, experience within, League One. It's a, it's a great place to start, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's obviously an analyst for the academy lads. I don't know what age group I'm going to get assigned to yet, but I'm really looking forward to it and working back on player development.
I was just super excited for you. Turned around and I told the family and they were excited for you. It's just cool. Knowing anybody that's like working in football right now is just kind of a rad thing, to be honest with you. Very exciting. Terry, what do you have going on right now, man?
Not much yet. My birthday this month. Looking forward to
it. It's my birthday.
Maybe 3-0. Yeah.
Are you the 3-0? Really?
I'm going to be, yeah. So officially a grown-up. I don't know at what point I'm going to start getting power tools for Christmas and that, but I hope it's not soon because I can't use it.
I am the 41s, and I'm still not getting those. So, yeah, but I think everybody else that I know knows that I'm in this perpetual phase of Arrested Development. So, yeah.
Well, it's been a bit of an eye opener though, because I remember being a kid and thinking my parents and adults and grown-ups and stuff knew what they were doing, and now that I'm one, I'm like, oh my god, they were winging it the whole time.
Isn't it the weirdest feeling in the world?
Yeah, it's just the things you learn, it's just unbelievable. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm gonna go away to Rome, and then the darling wife got me a set of tickets to go and see Kiss on the farewell tour, because obviously I like hair metal bands and the campus Christmas, a bit like me. So yeah, everything's looking pretty good. June's a good month for me. Looking forward to the next few weeks.
This is good gosh, guys. It's like you're having real fun. This is crazy, This is, damn. So I'm super, super envious of both of you guys. I've basically just got kids soccer all summer. That's what's happening in my family. Kids soccer and work, and maybe the occasional camping trip, and maybe the occasional trip to the beach. And there it is, There's definitely not Rome or working in a professional capacity for a football club. None of that.
I'd like to go to the beach or go camping. Don't get that opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. If things get too hairy for you over there, you have some place. There's safe haven here. Come to North Carolina. I'll hook you up with some good places where you don't have to run into any weird types, and we'll go camping and hang out at the beach, and maybe watch preseason football matches, which would be great. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, make it happen. You want to come to North Carolina and not Rome, Terry. I mean, really.
I mean,
come to a center of culture, Terry.
There's no point swapping at this late date, is there? Too much
time. Oh my gosh, Rome. Jesus Christ. Every time I think about how close you guys are to those kind of places, I just throw up a little in my mouth. I'm super envious. Anyway, something else that happened that these gentlemen mentioned when, before we actually started doing the action thing, is the big man has increased his shares in Everton. He's bought some extra stuff, and it was rumored that it was happening way before. I believe, what did the Esk tell us this months ago, that this was going to happen? This was a thing, right? It actually happened. Said that was probably going to happen, and it has. Max, you may have a little more details on that, or do you have any kind of opinion on this? Because it seems like it's just all good.
Yeah, hardly. It just feels like the natural process of things, really. Mm. I mean, obviously, since he's invested in the club, you know, that gradual progress of becoming a majority shareholder, like, it just feels like a new era of the club. And obviously, Bill is still at the club, but, you know, it is very, very much Farhad Mashiri's club. The investment up to date has been skewed. But obviously, you know, season just gone, we've seen, you know, the most signs of improvement. Mm. And hopefully, going forward, that'll be the case.
Terry, what do you think? Pretty much just echo those same thoughts?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was always, you know, it's been telegraphed, hasn't it, that he was going to increase his shares. Even when he bought his last lot, a lot of people, as you say, like the Everton Business Matters guys, were saying that he's likely going to increase in the summer, or plan to increase in the summer. And he has. It's hopefully a good indicator that the investment that he's put in so far is set to continue. Obviously, the level of investment and commitment from Mashiri has never been in question. Who he's positioned and appointed to spend that money has not always been good. Like, you know, a lot of money was wasted, but you can't blame him for that. He always handsomely backed his sporting directors and his managers, and still is, it seemingly, to this point. It's just the mistakes that those men made that really set us back. So, got a big rebuilding job to do going forward, and, you know, hopefully he's got the right guys in place now. But it's encouraging to see that he is buying more and more into the club, and he's not planning to cash his chips in anytime soon. Seems to be here for the long haul.
I don't blame him for mistakes. What I try to pay attention to is the correction of those mistakes. You know, if I see a manager make an error with tactics or whatever, I want to see if he continues to make the same errors in tactics, you know? And the corrections that he has made have been, so far, they've been pretty winning adjustments, you know? I'm happy about it. It's hard for me to see it in any other way right now. You know, of course, I'm sure he has his detractors out there. Every once in a while, you see someone with, they seem like contrarian folks who are trying to say, hey, I'm clever. I am different than you, in my opinion. Sometimes they make a point here or there. But I think overwhelmingly, it's hard to doubt the fact that right now the club is in a better spot right now than they were even last season.
Most definitely.
You know, so anyway, Farhad, we're going to keep riding that rocket. All right, let's do this. So let's move on to the topic of segment A. Exhibit A. We are going to be checking out. We got to talk about the captain who is leaving. I was debating on whether I was going to call him Jagielka or Jagielka, but I don't care. Right now, it's just like I'm just kind of gonna miss the guy, you know. I told my 6-year-old son, "Hey, man, number 6 is heading out, right? Jagielka's peacing out, man." He's like, "Where's he going?" Now, like, I don't know yet. Maybe Sheffield United. I don't know. But yeah, who's gonna be captain? Well, that's a long conversation, and we're gonna talk about that in another segment. But guys, there is gonna be a hole. A hole in the club. I just want to spit out some Jagielka facts really quick, and then I'm going to give the floor to you guys. You guys have a little bit. You've had more time with him, and I want to talk to you about your memories, best memories about him, what we're missing from him going forward, all that stuff. Okay. Apparently, at 15 years of age, started his career with Sheffield United. We knew that, but he started mainly playing as a center mid, which I thought was interesting. Helped them get to the top flight in 06-07, and then he promptly joined Everton on July 4th of 2007. Highest ever amount paid for a Sheffield player of £4 million. He became a legit first team player in the 08-09 season. I think his first season, it was a lot of, you know, struggling, trying to adapt and everything. And then after that, he did his ACL in February 2010, which I can tell you is the kind of thing that can really derail. And that was against Sporting in Europa League. But then came back 2013, signed a new contract, and Moyes said, "This guy's our captain." All right, that same year. And then wasn't too long after that when he was our captain ever since. He even remained the captain when Roberto came in. All right. He was in the England 2014 World Cup squad, and he's the most capped Everton player for England. Okay, so I want to shift over the floor to you guys because this guy's just had a monster career at the club. I'm going to start with Terry because I've been kind of going to Max first early on. So let's go with Terry. You want to talk about your Jags memories? Anything particular stick out, or just want to rant about Jags? I want to give you guys the floor to just do what you need to do.
He's been a great servant at the club, hasn't he? I mean, it is time, the right time for him to go, because at this point, I think a lot of players can stay a little bit too long and they can sour. Like, some people would even suggest that he stayed a little bit too long from his point of view, because he's come out the team and he hasn't been a fixture, you know, for at least last season, possibly some of the season before. And he's, you know, he deserves to go out, you know, end his career playing regularly, which, you know, fair enough. As an Everton player, though, he has been, for the most part of his time here, a massive, massive player for the club. There's some, you know, a lot of people play, you know, the obvious moment where he hit that rasper against Liverpool, like one of the, you know, best modern derby goals, not for the significance of the goal or the, you know, the results and all that, which, you know, by the by, the act, just the goal in isolation, like to hit a strike like that away at Anfield as an Everton player, centre back, in the 91st minute, whatever it was, brilliant. But I've got bittersweet memories of Jags, really, because there's two things that I think of, and it's from more or less from the same season, is when he scored the penalty to send us through to the cup final. Not the fact that he'd done it, but the fact that he missed one in the UEFA Cup Europa League. I'm not sure which one it was then. I think the UEFA Cup against Fiorentina not long before that, and it took some big, you know, some big cojones to step up and you know, to shoulder that pressure. It was a captain's moment. It was like, you need, you know, a lot of players might have buckled under that, going, no, I don't want to, you know, put myself in this position again. But then at the same time, we were just so unlucky that same season. At that point, Jagielka was in the form of his career. He was our leader at the back. He'd formed an unbelievable partnership with Julian Lescott, and I think it was his best partnership at the club. He had another one with Sylvain Distan, which was good, but I honestly think Jagielka and Lescott are our best Premier League centre-back pairing to date as a straight pair. And went into that final and we didn't have Jagielka. We didn't have a few other players as well, but I think even if you just add Jagielka into that team, I think we win that final. And it's always been a case of what if for me with that final, because, you know, Chelsea beat us, but we were missing some of our key players and he was one of the main ones. So I'm sad to see Jags go in a lot of ways, but in some ways it is about time. He's at the right, he's at that age. It's time to, you know, move forward as a club. And I wish him well. I hope he goes on to get a good club from next season, and he gets to get the playing time that he deserves, and what he can still offer, something he's shown this season when he's come in, still got something to offer, just maybe not at Everton with the other centre-backs that we've got.
Max?
Well, earlier on, I'd say, obviously, the 2008-2009 season, I think he won the player of the season and the fan player of the season, and Teddy said, with Lescott, absolutely phenomenal. I think at the time I was only young. I remember when he first signed, he got the number 16 shirt. I got him printed on the back of a number 16 on the back of a shirt. And when he moved to number 6, I even got him printed on the season after. I know obviously we got knocked out, we got beaten in the final. Arteta was out as well. He was just really disappointing. He's one of those, you know, he's the true custodians of the Moyes era. And I think he deserves to be mentioned in the same breath as those like Baines, Cahill, Arteta. And for me, it's similar to Terry, it's bittersweet. I've grew up hearing tales of, you know, you hear the past tales of Dixie, you hear about Kevin Ratcliffe, you hear about Roy Vernon, and Brian LeBowen in particular was one I always heard about. You know, they seem like true, like, Everton captains. Having Phil Neville, obviously, and then got passed on to Phil Jagielka, while the likes of Chelsea have got Terry and Lampard. Liverpool have obviously got Gerrard. Man United have got Scholes, Neville. Obviously, we were never at that standard during Jagielka's time at the club. But in that sense, it is quite bittersweet that he was our leader throughout that time. You know, without a doubt, I'd argue, I'd probably say John Stones is the best centre-half that I've seen at the club in recent years, but certainly second best to that, Phil Jagielka. He'll sorely be missed, obviously, in terms of his leadership qualities. His leadership qualities are born out of those moments of pressure. Finest example being, you know, stepping up against Manchester United, and from there, just seemed to be a great, you know, character to have at the club. Remember when I did my work experience at Finch Farm back when I was, I think, about 13. That was Martinez's first season at the club. Remember, one of the first things I remember seeing was him busting down the corridor singing R. Kelly. So he just seemed like one of those characters that you want to have in and around the dressing room. So he'll be missed, but as I said, it's the changing of the guard.
What a good story. Yeah. I love when you guys pop out with that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's one of those things that there's something very special, and it tells you when you've got like moments like that that relate to your personal history all the way back. It's just something really cool if you support a club that you're that close to them for that long, and you have family attachments as well. It's just awesome. Jagielka is, when I first started supporting Everton, I looked at a few players and I said, they're good examples of the club. They're good examples of players who speak for the club. When they talk, it seems like what they're saying is representative of the club as a whole. And their just overall attitude. I look at Jagielka, he's professional. You know, my Jagielka moment, the obvious one is that amazing volley, you know, at Anfield. But you know what? You know what I like? Because I think that's cliche for me. You know what I mean? Because that was in a draw. What I actually think for me just epitomized his professionalism was this season. You know what I mean? I look at this season. Look at the fact that he filled in, and he wasn't playing for long stretches. And then when he fills in, he does amazing. He has one bad game because he played back-to-back. Okay? He played against Fulham, not so good, right? But he was in a place where he should not be playing a lot of, sequential games right now in his career. He's just older. You know? Yeah. But when he's filled in,
37
he's...
In August.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
37 in August. You know, he's done fantastically
well.
That's
amazing!
To play at the top level for so long. I think that's a testament to his physical ability, though. Remember, I think not too long ago, he was clocked at one of the highest speeds of a Premier League player. And I've always heard he's an absolute beast in the gym. So, and that's exactly what you want from your centre.
I was literally going to go there next about the fact that he didn't seem like he was moving that fast. You know what I mean? I remember when they put that out and I read that, I was just like, how? I had no idea he was that fast. And then it was what you were talking about. I think it was also DCL came out and said, look, one of the quickest players on the pitch and hardest to get around is Jagielka. You know, and DCL is not like we're talking about, you know, a sloth here. He's a quick, nimble fellow. So if he says that, you know, he's kind of meaning it. Just to kind of start wrapping up here. Number one, I mean, I think it seems like there's a strong possibility he could go back to Sheffield United, correct?
Possibly.
I don't know where else he would go.
Seems to be the rumor.
I mean, if you're in his place, do you really want to... Do you want to step back to the Championship, or do you want to try to play at the top level somewhere? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like if you're not going to do Premier League, do you consider going to another country?
I mean, the Championship probably the worst place for him to go because of the amount of games they've got. That, you know, it's
totally
such
agree.
A hard fix. If he can't get a Premier League move, which, you know, he may do, you know, for one of the clubs who aren't as stable in the league, who want a little bit more of a, you know, experience in defence. I think the MLS could be ideal for him, just because it's not going to be as intensive as the Championship anyway, because it's not as many games. MLS has got a lot more, you know, tests with the elements, you know, like the heat and, you know, like the travel and stuff, but it's not two games a week, which the Championship is. So for me, he's either going Premier League or the MLS.
Come on, Phil.
Possibly.
Come on.
I'd like to see him go to Cardiff. I want to see him and Neil Warnock in the same dressing room together again. That would be nice.
I was actually, because I was reading up on him before the show, and I saw where, you know, there was a chance he could be leaving and Sheffield before the year before he left, and Warnock was kind of like, no, he's not leaving this year, and he didn't. You know, you're right. That would be cool. I just don't know if, again, I wonder if he would do that. Like you were talking about the fact that he's got to look out for his body in some way. Yeah. You know. I did consider MLS as a possibility. I just don't know. I mean, he's just an older dude, and I'm not sure if he. I mean, it is a quick league. You know what I mean, in terms of speed. I don't know about speed of play. Let me just clarify that.
I don't think that it's so much the speed that's the problem. I just think it's the workload. He could keep up. In the Arsenal game with Arsenal players, he just couldn't play two games back to back. I think it's more fatigue thing than a you know one-off game thing.
I guess I was just talking about MLS though. I guess it depends on where he ends up going. You know, I know for Open Cup games MLS they'll play a lot of young players. You know, to get them experience. It's a little bit like you know FA Cup, except I feel like they take it even less seriously. Over here, Open Cup is just kind of a meh because you're playing against some clubs that are just not the same level as, say, League One. You know, they're just not. Mm. Anyway, I'll be really curious to see where he lands up. Somebody's getting a really cool head and a professional player, and they're going to be able to. He's going to be a heck of a mentor for some kids somewhere.
Yeah, be a great coach.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Anything else we want to say about this guy? I mean, I feel like this segment is too short to really say everything you need to say about the guy, but...
Yeah. It's unfortunate. He's in that group of players that deserve to have won something, but just have ultimately come short. His crowning moment, obviously, is a winning penalty in a semi-final, which, you know, it's not all that glorious, is it, to be fair?
He was the leader of that Moyes era sort of team, and they all deserved it to win something because they were good enough. They just didn't have the luck when they needed it. And he epitomises that probably as much as anyone as the leader of that sort of crop. Him, you know, the likes of him and Cahill and Arteta and, you know, less Distan and Pienaar and Baines, latterly still here, but... I don't know. It doesn't diminish them for me because you shouldn't judge individual players based on the team performance because they didn't have the luck when they needed it, but he was still a fantastic player and servant for Everton. It's just, as you say, it's unlucky that he didn't, you know, he got injuries when he really could have avoided, should have, you know, wanted to avoid them and, you know, certain things could have went differently, but... What can you do? There's been other great Everton players who didn't win something for us, but they're still great Everton players.
Yeah. And it's not like he plays a glamour position either. You know what I mean? He's just not. We're gonna miss number six. I don't know who our new number six is gonna be. I guess we'll be finding that out soon. Could be Yerry Mina just grabs that one. Who knows? Or maybe a Kurt Zuma if he finds his way back. Who knows? But, you know, it's too soon. Too soon. We'll figure it out later. Too soon. anything else on Jags? Are we good to move on? All right. Well, we're going to move on. Phil, if you do come to the States, prefer it be somewhere around North Carolina. Just saying. All right? D.C., Atlanta, something where it's not a long drive for me. Thanks. All right, that's it for our Jags segment. We're going to talk about leadership. Is Everton lacking leadership now that there's a big, huge Jag-sized hole in our squad? I think we're expecting Coleman to fill the captain's shoes. And, you know, if Baines decides to sign his one-year contract, we're going to have another cool head in the locker room, another veteran presence. But after that, you know, there's other players who are, you know, good players. They like to lead by example, but it's hard to say. So the question becomes, the real question of discussion here is, are Everton lacking leadership? Do we need to buy some more? All right. We tried that before. I remember, was it 1 year? We bought Rooney and Klaassen, and we bought all these, like, captains all in the same time. Didn't work out too well. So the question is, you know, taking a look at our squad, do we need to bring in somebody with leadership qualities as well, or are we just thinking good players that fit the system? Max?
I think it's an interesting take, to be fair, Jerry, because as I said before, I believe leadership qualities are sort of born out of, you know, specific moments that you can kind of, you know, you can point to. And as said, not too many players in the current squad that have really had those moments. You know, you go back to the cup eliminations, you know, Millwall, that's a time for someone to step up. It's a time for someone to, you know, make the mark. And I think it's something that brands and Silver certainly taken into account. You know, obviously, you know, they chose to let Jagielka go, but, you know, they put the 1 year offer on the plate for Leighton. So obviously, you know, they don't want to let the two of them go at the same time. If they do, obviously, I feel like there's a huge, you know, a leadership gap there. I don't think Ashley Williams is going to step up and be that Swansea captain that we bought anytime soon on his return. So, yeah, there is a huge gap. But I think we just need to stick to doing business smart and getting the targets, because I feel like this team, for the first time almost since, you know, specifically Moyes' era, there seems to be a real character about this squad. And I feel like, you know, they certainly seem like they've got the ability to reach those levels where they can achieve those defining moments where people can become leaders. For example, you know, Lucas Dean scoring set pieces, Gylfi Sigurdsson stepping up and taking responsibility. They certainly are and do have the quality to be captains, and that, you know, Sigurdsson has taken on responsibility at times, and it does seem to be passed around. Needless to say, I forgot to even mention Seamus Coleman. You know, his fitness permitting, I feel like he's obviously the one who's getting the armband, isn't he?
And yeah, I guess the question becomes, like, let's say we purchase some new right back, as we know it's a possibility. So if for some reason Coleman finds his way to the bench, who becomes the captain? You know, I've seen some people make some shouts for Pickford, and I can't go for that at the moment, just based on some things that happened last season. Although maybe with another year or two, some maturation happens, maybe we've got that, you know, he'll have more of a cool head, calm head, when he needs to have it. You know, I mean, Terry, I mean, you know, I look at our squad, and Sigurdsson is a good shot. Just a gay, if he stays, we're going to get the same consistent effort every single time.
True.
I don't know how vocal he is, but he's at least
leading got the by little, example.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I love the grit and the fact that he's showing everybody, this is what you're supposed to do every game, damn it. You mentioned Lucas Digne. I think if we end up getting Gomez, which I think we will, he's another one. And I actually think, I don't put, I the, when he's like lost his cool several times this season, I actually didn't really think he had completely lost it. I thought he was still under control when he did. I thought he was just sort of, you know, I guess communicating his annoyance with the referee at the time, you know what I mean, and with certain players. I think he's a pretty cool-headed guy, and he's not afraid to be the face of a franchise. He's another one, and we got to mention Tom Davies, but is he going to get to play enough? That's another question. Terry, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts on this. Give us some of them.
I think something that we learned, you touched on it before, when we brought in several players who had been captains of previous clubs and international level, and we had them all in at the same time. You know, we had Ashley Williams, we had Rooney, we had, you know, obviously Jagielka, Klaassen and whatnot. We still looked bereft of leadership. I think we learned from that experience that you can't actually buy leaders for your team, you'd have to grow them. Mm. And that's something that we've seen with Coleman. Now, being a good team leader and a good captain, I just think it literally is all down to the personality of the player. Now, we don't know the personality of the players, not really. We think we do, and we probably know it a little bit in some cases, but you just don't know off the field. Like, I think I look around our squad and go, there's no other than Coleman, obviously, there's no standout candidate for leaders of the team. Like, everyone sort of cites Baines as this potential, well, he's the vice captain now, and potential leader in the locker room. But as my understanding of Baines has always been, he's a very quiet guy. Like, he's a senior head and he's respected, but he's not like a shouter. He's not like an enforcer. He's just sort of like a look up to type guy, but not someone who will bark orders. Now, when you look around the squad, there's a lot of players, and you can see the other players respect a lot and has got the personality on the pitch, at least, that they'll go to war, for the club, and they'll keep, like, not only will they keep a cool head when it's needed, but they'll go in for the fight when they need to. So Max touched on it. I think Luca Dean, if maybe not next season, going forward, he joint won the Players Player of the Season in his first season at the club. So you can tell the rest of the squad really like Luca Dean and respect him. And on the pitch, he seems to be, he's having running battles with his opposite number. He seems to be, he fights for the badge. He's only been here one season, and he fights for the badge on the front of the shirt more than he does for the name on the back of it. I think he's someone who we should be literally tying down for a long time if we can, because he's a potential Everton captain, I think. Some less obvious choices, I think, going forward, a bit too soon at this point because of his age, but Calvert-Lewin seems to be one of those players who gets stuck into the battle for the club. Maybe he hasn't got that sort of influence on the other players, but he's definitely, maybe not a captain, but he's more of an influential leader type player. Like, Cahill was never a captain for Everton, but he was always one of our team leaders, you could tell. He was always one of the ones who took the fight to the opposition. It's just a case of who grows into that spot, because Coleman, everyone has known for a long time, will succeed Jagielka. He's not even the vice captain on paper, that's Baines, because of experience, and that's the right thing to do. It's the right way for the club to deal with it. But you've seen the obvious candidate to replace Jagielka has been Coleman. Now there's a couple of year window where Coleman is likely to be the official club captain, if he, as long as he's on, and he may not even always be on the pitch, but he will be the club captain, same as Jagielka was. And then there's a couple of years there where a new sort of player has got time to emerge. It could be someone who we bring in this summer, but we don't know it, for another year or two. But there's players there. You might not just see it at this point. I remember Coleman was a low confidence player. I remember he used to get load of abuse off Phil Neville all the time when Phil Neville was playing in central midfield and Coleman was at right back. Neville used to give him an absolute dog's life. He used to criticise him constantly, and you could see Coleman just sort of like taking it in and sort of being cowed a little bit by the club captain, but he learnt a lot from it because now he's that leader.
I suppose Phil Neville, obviously, he's always branded as the manager's pet, wasn't he, really? And I was thinking, translate that to this squad, who's Marco Silva's pet? You see him make way for Idrissa Gueye quite a lot. Obviously, there's kind of ambiguity over his future. And I know you mentioned it then, Jerry. But yeah, leading by example, one that we haven't mentioned, and I think it is more for the long-term future of the club. But I always saw John Stones eventually becoming an Everton captain. Or, obviously, he's left Everton, but a captain somewhere. And I think the successors to John Stones at Everton, Mason Holgate, he seems to have that fire about him. Obviously, prime example, pushing Firmino at the stands. Not being afraid, standing his ground, they're qualities that you admire in a captain. He's still only very young, had a season out on loan at West Brom to gain some experience, done well by all accounts, hopefully.
And you mentioned him, and he was willing to step up. I know he missed it. Step up and take that first penalty, though, right, for West Brom.
Yeah.
He wants the pressure. It's like, okay, I'm tipping my hand here watching that damn Man City docu-series, but Pep says pressure is a privilege.
Agreed.
And I feel like those good players, certain players understand that and crave it and want it. And I like the fact that he stepped up. I hate the fact that he missed for him, but, it's a learning experience,
I think he's more or less in the same boat as Davies, though. He's got the potential to grow into that, but it's whether he plays. It's like he's got to play. That won't happen off the pitch. If Davies and Holgate were to next season, surprise people and they nailed down two starting spots and then took off from there all day, either of them. But it's just, you're not going to you're not going to be able to grow into a leader of the team when you're only in and out of the team for a few games a season. It's all about playing.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I'm not worried about leadership. I'm not. I think that you guys have kind of talked about a few things here, and I think you're both right. Because you're both saying the same thing in like different ways. You know, Max, you were talking about it's born through a series of moments. And Terry, you talk about, you know, leader will emerge. Okay? They will. All right? As we battle, as we go, someone is going to show themselves as being the one that people want to go to and, you know, to listen to when during the tough times, during the difficult times. Someone is going to show up for that. It's just because the situation is going to demand it. And I think it's really difficult to falsely manufacture that. How do you do it? You know, you bring in the people you feel like are the best character fit for the squad. Not just players, but also character.
Yeah, we had that brilliantly balanced on some ways, I think.
Yeah, and I think Silva and Bronze right now are bringing in players of a certain character. And they do fit the system, but they are team-first players. It's going to happen. I don't worry about the lack of leadership. I think we're gonna continue to grow on the pitch. And someone, who knows? Right now, we have a lot of players that get on with their business and keep their mouth shut. That's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's a Silva quality. Players that keep their mouth shut and get on with their business. Maybe that's the indication of a Silva squad. Cool. All right? Sometimes you need somebody to get in the ref's face, though. You know what I mean? That is something. Somebody to stand up. But you know what? Every single time we needed that, someone was there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I do feel like there is that sort of character within that squad. And, you know, we've only worked with it for one season. How that, you know, pans out over a series of time. So surely, I like, similar to you, Jerry, I've got faith. But to me, it's down to not bottling. We can't continue to bottle, you know, cup tournaments or big games. Yeah. You know, we made a real good statement with our performances against the top six teams towards the back end of the season. Take that mentality full steam ahead.
Continue and push to grow. That's the only thing you can do. Because if you're not growing, if you're not continuing to put yourselves in a scenario to grow, then what are you doing? Then you're stagnant.
After 17-18 season, though.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on potentially lacking leadership? No. All right. Right now, I'm just hoping for some badass signings and reload, restock, bring some of the old faces back, and let's do this. You know? I'm genuinely excited. I realize I'm supposed to be like, aw, no, let's go. I am ready, especially with the news that Gomez is probably going to be coming back. That's nice. All right. Anything else on this, guys? We good?
No.
Yeah. Always like when I agree with you guys. Then I'm like, oh, so I'm not on the crazy pills. But yeah, if you want to hear a lightning round segment with Max, I'm because Terry's not going to be able to join us for that one because reasons. We'll learn a little bit more about Max, and that's how we'll rock it. So stay tuned. And it's time for the lightning round. We are doing a lightning round with Max. I'm going to be giving you the exact same questions that I gave to Terry at our last lightning round because, well, I was lazy. So get off my back, world. So here is the lightning round. We're going to be learning a little bit about Max. Here, the way this is going to work is I'm going to ask these rapid fire. A decent amount of these are things that maybe Max has answered before in a previous lightning round, or it's stuff that we've talked about in other segments. Apologies. This is improvisation. Just saying. So and we'll ask, I might even ask for him for some elaboration at the end of this. So, Max, are you ready to bare your soul on the lightning round?
Hit me with it. I initially thought it was going to be Everton knowledge, but go ahead. Let's go.
No, yeah, I mean, you can prep for the lightning round anyway, though. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So, and let's go. Who's your favorite club that's not Everton?
Barcelona.
Barcelona, I knew that. Which Avenger are you?
Thor.
Thor?
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Where's your dream home?
Dream home? West Coast America.
Really?
That's Cali, baby.
Yeah. What's your favorite spirit or mixed drink?
Whiskey.
Mine too. If you had a sponsor, who would it be? So if you like, you're walking through town and somebody sponsors, you know, get your big logo on there. Maybe you hear the theme music. What is it?
Emirates. I'm rolling with it. I'm working for the City Football Group. They can sponsor me.
Nice. This is weird.
Not Emirates. Sorry, I think I'd
take that. Oh, Etihad. Okay. Gotcha. I was trying to put that. Okay, cool. So, Etihad is Max's sponsor. Fingers or toes?
Fingers.
Yeah, weird one, huh? Favorite pizza topping?
Chicken.
Okay, this was normally a Terry question, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Metallica or AC/DC?
AC/DC.
Really? Okay. What's the best DC Universe movie, and you cannot include any of the Dark Knight trilogy films?
Stump me there, haven't you? Really? I watched Suicide Squad the other day, and that's the last DC movie I can remember watching. So,
is that really your answer? Please tell me that's your answer, because that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, sure, why not? Oh, because I don't know what the answer to that would be either. Decisions. Do you go more with your heart or more with your head?
With my head.
I could answer that for you. If you could play professional football, what would be your position?
The Morgan Schneiderlin role, Jerry. Not quick. Like, I'm not good enough to be a centre-half, so I just kind of lurk about in that space in between the lines.
I notice you tend to appreciate players that play that position. You know what I mean? You've mentioned him, you've mentioned Ilkay Gundogan before. You have a little affinity for that position, so I get you. Infinity War or Endgame?
Endgame? Probably for the ending, probably fresh in the memory.
Okay. I may be setting you up here, and I apologize. What's your favorite plant, Max?
My favorite plant? I don't think I could answer that on the record.
I think again. You just answered that.
Sunflowers.
Sunflowers, that's adorable. Yeah, sunflowers. All right. Something with Bud. All right, so soup or salad?
Soup.
Gotcha. Would you rather? Do you prefer the bitter cold or warm and rainy?
Warm and rainy.
Ah, Chicago or New Orleans?
Chicago, baby, in the city.
Ah, what's funny is New Orleans has the warm and rainy, and Chicago has the bitter cold.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just more attracted to Chicago.
No, I spend time in both. I like them both. If you had a pre-match pint of what do you have?
Erdinger. It's a German beer.
Okay, yeah. So I may have to have that sometime.
Fantastic.
Max, what's your favorite comedy show of all time?
Favorite comedy show of all time? The Inbetweeners. Gotta be.
I've definitely seen a lot of those. Yeah. Very nice. And lastly... which family or house in Game of Thrones are you?
Stark, without a shadow of a doubt.
I had a feeling you'd go there. What's funny is I've gotten to the point where I know Max fairly well, so I had a feeling on most of those, to be honest. It just felt, yeah. Cool, very cool. And I didn't mean to set you up, or did I, on that one question. Hey,
you know,
real life happens and real answers happen. Okay, so I'm probably not going to elaborate on this because you know what? My wife just called and apparently I have to drive across town to get a key out from under a seat. Hey, married life. My life.
Good one. Married.
But Max, thanks a lot for sharing you know, exposing your deepest, darkest, no, just answering questions. Thanks so much, man. Thanks to Terry, who had to bolt before this. It happens. But anyway, thanks to Max, who's you know, doing all this awesome stuff right now with his life, taking time out to be able to record, which is rad. If you want more Max, keep an eye on his Twitter. He'll tell you when and where he's going to be. He tends to do a lot of work with the Toffee Blues website, so keep an eye on that. Terry, keep an eye on his Twitter, his Liverpool Echo Fan Jury stuff. Probably not going to kick in until later on in the year when the season starts up, so check that out. Just Toffee Blues website, period. Look at that. Keep an eye on that. There's all things Everton. And there's even more. Right now, the website is new, but you know what? It's going to be even newer in the coming months, so it's going to be even more gorgeouser, because I just made that word up. Lastly, if you want to check out our YouTube channel, please, by all means, check it out. You can see what we look like and say, wow, they look different than I expected. So check that out. You may think that I need to shave. Of course I do. Other than that, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. We'd appreciate that too. That's all I got. Max, I will talk to you later, man. Appreciate the time.
You too. Brilliant, as always, Jerry.
Yeah, man. Take care of yourself, and congrats on all the good shit that's been happening for you, man. Couldn't be happier.
One step at a time.
Oh, yeah, baby steps. You're getting there. Hard work. All right, man. Talk to you later, bud. Take care. And for everybody else, that's the end. So, bye.